Good morning, 7:44 here on the mighty 690. 32 degrees in Coffeyville, a bit of a foggy start to the day. Very happy, though, to have in studio the one and only Virgil Peck, who's been in the news a lot lately with your listening tour. How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. I tell you what, when I heard at 6 o'clock you said that there was a fog advisory, particularly north of Caney, I thought, well, I'm going to have to leave early because that's right where I will be driving. But it's a beautiful morning out there. Great sunrise and listening tours going great attendance, much better than past years. A lot of input from a lot of individuals. Looks like we've had about, so far, 82 attendees. I will be in Caney at 3:30 this afternoon at the City Hall, coming over to Coffeyville at 5 o'clock at Hersh's Ice Cream. And people say, well, it's wintertime. Well, ice cream is always good. But they'll also have espresso and some baked goods and so forth.
And we can learn something from the people from Ohio and Wisconsin because they just eat it year-round. You know, they all, so we can learn to do the same.
Absolutely. If other states can do it, Kansas can do it better. It's always my
mindset. Exactly. Have there been any themes that have kind of come from as you talk to people in your conversations and everything, the stuff that keeps coming up?
Well, I always start my listening tours with a little information from myself as to what I see coming up. Taxes are always an interesting topic, interesting discussion, and so I bring those up. And I mentioned the fact that the legislature has a special committee on legalizing medical marijuana. And honestly, James, I have been surprised that there's not been more discussion on medical marijuana. In the stops that I have made, there has been two individuals, neither one of them thought of as conservative at all, that have somewhat pushed the issue of legalizing marijuana, at a minimum legalizing medical marijuana. However, there's been overwhelming, on that topic for just a moment, there's been overwhelming opposition to any legalization of marijuana in the listening stops. I personally will not support in any way, shape, or form recreational marijuana. Just won't do it. That's just one of my core values, core beliefs. I'm not going to support recreational marijuana. We see the detriment it's had on Colorado. Even though Missouri's going down that road, Oklahoma may or may not. Arkansas said no when they voted. But medical marijuana, I've had an open mind, listening ear to see what people think. And it's been very telling to me that there has been a pretty strong opposition to medical marijuana, and what I always hear is it's a gateway drug, it's a slippery slope. Once you open the door, there's no getting the horse back in the barn. Educators, medical professionals, mental health professionals, the general public, there's been a wide opposition, wide array of opponents, different areas, different occupations that have opposed medical marijuana. So that's been interesting to me to learn that from Southeast Kansas residents. Now, I realize that when I say I've had 82 attendees in the five meetings I've had so far, 82 people are not a lot, but it is a lot for five meetings.
Sure. I mean, you get that little bit of a sample. Anything else that sticks out to you from your interactions with the public from these meetings?
Of course, because of the fact that all the meetings are in the evening or on weekends, there are a significant number of individuals from the education arena. They are talking fully funding special education, currently in state statute, which this legislature sets. The legislature could change it. Don't know if we will or not, but we, by statute, are to fund the excess cost of special education at 92%. So special ed students always cost more than the general population of students. State statute says we should fund that excess cost at 92%. We've been funding it around 71%. And of course, that's been a push sometimes when you have several educators. And I got this. Certain people are in certain industries, I guess is the word I will use, certain subject areas, so they want to dominate the conversation. But that's been something that has been talked about. Just briefly to go through a list, and then if there's something that you want me to elaborate on, I'll be glad to do so. Now, we did receive from the Board of Regents, CEO, President, Board of Regents is the college, the governing body for our colleges. And he provided a graph to the Workforce Development Committee. And some people don't like the fact that I'm sharing this information. Well, I think it's important because it's not meant to throw stones. It's not meant to cast dispersions on anyone. It's strictly for information and saying, okay, we've got an issue. Let's put our heads together and deal with it. A little controversial, but hey, you got to go deal with the controversial issues. But the ACT test is provided to all graduating seniors, and a lot of schools provide it for others at no cost to them. Now, James, you and I are paying for it. So there's nothing free in the world, by the way. When people think, well, it's free, the government's paying for it. No, no, no. The government not paying for anything. Taxpayers are paying for it. But anyway, the ACT is provided at no cost to the students. Only 71% of high school graduates are taking the ACT test, which I'm a little surprised and disappointed. I think it'd be higher. I realize some students aren't going to go into education, higher education. They want to go into tech school and so forth. I got that. There are various factors. But of those 71% who are taking the ACT test, only currently, last year, 21% are college ready. And that's a sad commentary on Kansas, when only 21% of our high school graduates who are taking the ACT test, and according to the ACT test results, are ready to go to college. So that's been some discussion that we have talked about. And school choice has come up, and that's part of the discussion here. COVID requirements, I'm hoping we're behind that, but I still believe that we should provide freedoms for individuals. Highway construction, bridge maintenance and construction. One place did bring up Medicaid expansion, which Medicaid expansion is something that they just asked, what do you see coming? Do you think that's going to be a possibility? The new Speaker of the House, which Ron Bryce, Doug Blex, all the area legislators, Dan Goddard, the new representative-elect legislator, selected Dan Hawkins to be the Speaker of the House. Dan has been the lead opponent on Medicaid expansion for years as the majority leader. Also, have had discussions regarding wind energy, had discussions fairly lengthy in Chanute about electric vehicles. I don't know how we would handle electric vehicles in Southeast Kansas as it relates to charging stations, because it's not like you pull into a service station. I guess they still have service stations around, mostly as convenience stores.
Sure, sure.
And currently, with gasoline, you pull in, you can either go inside and pay, which I do because I don't believe in credit cards, or you can use your card, debit card or credit card, and pay right there at the pump. You're in and out in 5-6 minutes. Electric vehicles, you can't get a full charge in 5 or 6 minutes. It takes a long time.
Well, and everyone that I've known who have gone electric, they've bought the cars, tried it out, and they've gotten rid of them.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. That's interesting. I did have a conversation with a local individual in a financial institution who has a brother, he said, in Texas, who has an electric truck. He said, oh, those are sweet. They're quiet. They will go from 0 to 100. He didn't say 100, but a fast speed pretty quickly. And now he did say something that I was unaware of. Some of the listeners may or may not be aware. He said, when you let off the accelerator, it's like you put on the brake. They come to a pretty quick stop. So electric vehicles has been talked about. Government debt, of course, at this federal level, we're facing $31 trillion, which still pains me, James, to say that, because people your age and younger, even people who are not born yet, are going to have to deal with the government debt that has been created at the federal level. The state has plenty of debt, too. So I'm not going to just throw stones at the federal government. I don't support debt. I personally don't have debt. People who do well don't end up with debt when they get to a certain age. So that just sort of covers briefly the topics that so far have been brought up. But Caney, Coffeyville, Cherryville, Independence is where I'll be tonight and tomorrow morning. Montgomery County, home county, we shall see if they bring up different topics.
Sure. Well, it's a great opportunity if anyone's listening and wants to talk with you directly. It's just a good chance to actually meet and get some of your thoughts out and learn something. Because, I mean, I always do when you're in here. So,
well, I appreciate that. I appreciate you saying that, because this is a listening tour. We're hopefully listening to each other. I try to be fairly brief at the beginning, but my main focus is to hear what's on the minds of listeners. And so if a person's got something on their mind, not only will I be there, but I have invited Doug Blex. I know that Ron Bryce has committed to be here in Coffeyville. Of course, he's just going to have to walk up the street a little ways.
You know.
And Ron is also committed to be in Cherryvale tomorrow morning. By the way, that will be at 9 o'clock in the Cherryvale City Council Room. And then from Cherryvale, we will head to Independence to the Historical Museum, be there at 10:30. Ron will be in Coffeyville, Cherryvale, and Independence. And Doug's been invited to join me in Caney and in Independence, areas that their district includes. So my point is, James, not only are you going to be talking to a state senator, but someone who will be a state representative come January the 9th.
Yeah, I think that's just a good opportunity. We got a few minutes left here as we continue our conversation with Virgil Peck. And, sir, I know that there are a few other topics you'd like to hit. New leadership is going to be coming online here at the national level and, even state level, too. So what does that look like as we head towards the new year?
It will be interesting at the federal level, which, of course, I'm not a federal legislator,
sure,
but to see when the United States House is governed by Republicans, and then the White House, and it looks like even though the Democrats, the registered Democrats, are only 48, they have three independents and another one just, as was on the news,
yep,
on KGGF
yeah,
earlier today. I learned something by listening to KGF, but it will provide an opportunity for working together. Now, I use that phrase, provide an opportunity for working together, knowing that in Washington, D.C., that just doesn't happen anymore. But it will stop some of the radical left agenda that the president has been pushing by having a Republican Speaker of the House in Washington, D.C. The Senate leadership in Kansas did not change because we did not have an election. The House leadership is going to be all new except for the assistant majority leader. New Speaker of the House, Dan Hawkins from Sedgwick County, a new majority leader, Chris Croft from Johnson County, and then the assistant majority leader is Les Mason from McPherson. The Speaker pro tem is from Sedgwick County, Blake Carpenter, and then the majority whip is also from Sedgwick County. So the House leadership in Kansas will be Sedgwick County heavy. And some people wonder, well, how can that be? Well, one, I would like to see, of course, more rural legislators lead, but Sedgwick County is still more Republican than Johnson County. Johnson County has gone Democrat, so it's hard to get someone elected from Johnson County when there's Sedgwick County opportunities. So we shall see, but the House, certainly when I look at the personnel, and I've had an opportunity to meet some of them, James, is moved right, more conservative. Personally, Virgil Peck likes that. Virgil Peck's conservative. He likes conservative people to work with. Not that we won't do some things that are going to make me scratch my head and some others, but that's going to be different. We do have in the Kansas Senate a senator, Gene Sullentrop, who has resigned his seat, and so we will seat a new senator in January. He's from Sedgwick County. Yes, Sullentrop is a name that's recognizable because he had that misconduct where he overconsumed, drove the wrong way on the highway, and so forth. Mm-hmm. Don't want to mm-hmm. go after Gene. Gene's actually a friend, but he made a bad error in judgment. And but anyway, he's gone, so there will be at least one new. Which the reason I bring this up, James, is it tells us that the Senate president will have to realign some Senate committees, because whoever replaces Senator Sullentrop will have different background, different areas of expertise. So there will be a little bit of a shakeup or change in the Senate committees, but as far as the personnel, there will not be a shakeup.
Sure. Well, and Virgil, we could talk for an hour, but
we're
running a little close on time. About a minute left. What do you want to leave us with today? We may have you back. I don't know. We'll have to check with your schedule for the rest of the month. But what do you want to leave us with for today?
Well, I will be in Topeka on Monday. The Special Committee on Assessment and Taxation. We have had discussion on eliminating the income tax on retirement income. We're going to be looking at streamlining sales tax initiative and making our recommendations on all these topics. So, yes, next time when I come in, which will be Tuesday morning. No, I'm kidding. Next time we come in, we will have plenty to talk about as it relates to taxes. and hopefully we'll have an idea on a feel of the committee makeup.
Okay. Well, excellent update. Again, let's hit those times real quick that you're going to be available for your listening tour.
3:30, Caney City Hall. 5 o'clock, Hirsch's Ice Cream on 9th Street here in Coffeyville. Tomorrow morning in Cherryvale at 9 o'clock, the City Council Room. And at 10:30 at the Independence Historical Museum tomorrow morning. Looking forward to, I invite people to be there, looking forward to the opportunity to visit with them, hear what's on their minds, what topics they want me to represent them in Topeka.
All right. Well, very big thank you to you, Virgil Peck. It's always great to have you in studio. Always learn so much, and glad to hear the listening tour has gone well. And I'll look forward to several more times that you can interact with the public. We have Charles Kent coming up in mere moments on the Mighty 690, 32 degrees right now in Coffeyville.